Hello, welcome to another episode of the Nick Rodriguez Podcast. I am thrilled to welcome Piper Shaw to the show today. Piper is a reporter on Bally Sports Wisconsin. How are you doing today, Piper?
I am doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm doing great. How's everything going over there in Wisconsin for you?
It is going well. It's a beautiful day here. Summer feels like it's on the way, and we're having fun. How about you?
Everything is good over here in Atlanta. Pretty warm, pretty hot over here. I think it's getting into the 90s today. Is it, you know, when it comes to the summer over in Wisconsin, is it kind of nice at this point of the year, or is it kind of hot?
I'd say this is probably one of the better times just in general in the Midwest. May and June are where it's not too crazy hot. I mean, when you get into August, that's when you'll hit those 90 degree temperatures and stuff. It's temperate now, I would say, sunny and nice and comfortable to be outside in jeans and a t-shirt kind of a thing. You know.
Right. That's awesome. Well, let's go ahead and get into, what you do and everything like that. But starting at the beginning, what led you to become a sports broadcaster?
Well, I started doing performance things just in general when I was in elementary school. I started doing theater and I played a bunch of instruments and I took voice lessons and I won my first statewide speech competition when I was in fifth grade.
Wow.
And so then after that, I was very competitive in speech and like theater stuff all through middle school and in high school. And I, in high school, I competed at the national tournament and I placed 14th and I won some state titles and whatever. And so, it was really the only thing that I liked to do when I was a teenager, which I mean, I would say I was kind of a moody, difficult teenager, like as many are, you know, little off topic, but I have like a distinct memory of a health teacher forcing us all to like set goals for our lives. And I was like in the 10th grade, I was like, I have no goals. Not because I was like emo, but just because I was like, I don't know. And I actually wasn't allowed to play sports when I was a kid or in high school or anything. And so really speech was the only thing that like I was allowed to be in and that I had. So anyways, when I started thinking about what kind of career I wanted to do, I knew I wanted to do something that I could, you know, use my public speaking skills, especially because a lot of people don't have them. So I was like, okay,
right.
That's something that I'm good at. And then also I've always loved just talking to people and writing and researching. I was always really interested in current events and I wrote a lot of speeches. I read a lot of biographies because that was a lot of what speech performance was as well. Was like I did like a Courtney Love piece and a Driving Miss Daisy thing and I did informative speeches on like all kinds of things. So I was like, I just had a really wide interest. So my point is I knew that I wanted to do broadcast journalism specifically because I was like, perfect. That way I can write, I can read, I can talk to people, I can interview people. And I happen to be pretty decent at public speaking. So it's perfect. And I started in news and then I worked into sports just because I had a really great opportunity to cover Wisconsin hockey shortly after I started my career and broadcast news. And I always wanted to like work in sports just because I thought that that's where a lot of really great storytelling lives.
Right.
As well as like really passionate fans and people and athletes, which not that you don't have that in news because you absolutely do, but there's a little bit more of, there's a lot more complex issues there and a lot of different things to learn. So anyways, I thought that sports would be too competitive for me, because I just liked the core of what I was doing.
Right.
And once I got that opportunity, I was like, well, I'm never going back. So
never leaving once you get that taste.
Oh, absolutely.
What's it been like for you to cover that Wisconsin hockey team for you?
Well, so I'm a native Minnesotan. So I grew up loving hockey and watching hockey.
Right.
I mean, pretty much every little kid in Minnesota plays hockey. Of course, I didn't, but all my friends did. And I grew up in St. Cloud, Minnesota. And St. Cloud is about an hour and a half from the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. So I didn't get to really, when I was a kid, go to a lot of like pro games. However, St. Cloud State has a D1 hockey team. Obviously they play second this year in a really, really upsetting championship game. But so I grew up watching those games, and my best friends, we all had like season tickets to go see the Huskies play. And so I really grew up around college hockey specifically. So I've always loved hockey, and I've always loved college hockey. And it was definitely the sport that I liked the most always. I loved the action and how fast it was. So the opportunity to get to cover Big Ten hockey is awesome, because it's actually like a totally different dynamic than I would say NCHC hockey was when I was at St. Cloud. So it's really cool. And it's also so cool because Wisconsin hockey has such a rich legacy, and the coaching staff, not only are they phenomenal coaches, but they're phenomenal people. And they, and I mean, that's so cliche, but it's so true. And the hockey community at the University of Wisconsin is like, literally it's a family, especially because they don't have a NHL team here. They have the Admirals, they're AHL, but like the hockey community in Wisconsin is so about this program. So it's like, even their in-game presentation is like what you'd go to a Wild game in Minnesota is like. So it's really cool. And it's really, I'm really lucky to get to be part of such a really cool like community and fan base.
That's super unique, because, you know, obviously, you know, college football is very, you know, big in Wisconsin and Minnesota as well. But I think, you know, we were just speaking about before, you know, I'm from Georgia, I'm from Atlanta. Hockey isn't the biggest thing around here. And I guess, to say the least, you know, we had the Thrashers, and, you know, they're not here anymore. But I think it's becoming bigger here because there's a lot of transplants. There's a lot of people from the Minnesotas, the you know, the Wisconsin's, the New York's of the world that are coming down to live here, to, and that's infiltrating a little bit. But when I was a kid, it really was not that big of a thing. But it must be, I mean, the Big Ten is a huge conference in itself, but to be covering such a big sport in that region, that has to be incredible for you.
Definitely. And I've also, because the hockey team is a big program within Wisconsin, obviously.
Right.
One of the most popular ones for obvious reasons. And the women's team is also completely, like, they're also phenomenal. And they're not in the Big Ten, obviously, because women's hockey isn't in the Big Ten, but they are like the best women's hockey team in the country, if not one of the best literally in the world. So it's so cool to get to cover them. And it's also really cool, like, this is just kind of sidebar, but I was just walking to the rink one day, and I just walked past like Mark Johnson. He's just like, "Oh, hey, Piper, how are you?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm good. How are you?" And he's just like, "Oh, doing well." And I'm just like, and then I like sat there for a second. I was like, "God, what is my life?" Like, and I know that, like, I'm just walking to the rink, and I'm like, "Oh, hey, Mark Johnson. Like, what's up?" It was actually like a really, like, one of the more like humbling kind of moments in my career where I was like, I really realized I was part of something special. And like, back to what you said about the Big Ten as well, is that, yeah, it's really interesting to see Big Ten schools, because I didn't go to a Big Ten school, and St. Cloud is kind of a rival in a sense for the University of Minnesota. So like, I was never really like a Gopher fan or like invested in their Big Ten athletics at all.
Right.
So it's definitely cool. It's kind of like the whole branding of the league, at least here, or the conference rather, is very like, just very branded and marketed and colorful and like over everything.
Well, we're, you know, we're speaking a similar language here. If I go back to college football and the SEC, I'm not a SEC person. I'm actually a Texas fan. That's where, you know, my parents went, you know, born in Texas. But the SEC has this like cultural, you know, backing with each other, and they're always, you know, like certain games they'll chant SEC and everything like that, which is kind of bizarre. I mean, I think in any other sport you're not gonna chant you know, Western Conference or something like that. Is the Big Ten like that in the Midwest, or is that just something that we do down here in the South, chant SEC?
I mean, I feel like most of the really popular football schools in the Midwest, like in this area, are Big Ten schools.
Right,
you know? Like,
right. Right.
So I don't know that there's quite, like, in terms of like football, I don't know that I've seen much of that kind of like a rivalry, but I'd say in college hockey specifically, there totally is, because man, if you get like college hockey fans talking about the NCHC versus the Big Ten versus Hockey East, like it's a whole can of worms. And even though I love covering Big Ten hockey and Wisconsin hockey as a school, I mean, I'm kind of in the island that the NCHC is the best college hockey conference. And I also don't think that's necessarily a controversial opinion, but it's just because the Big Ten has that reputation like across all sports versus right. NCHC is like just a hockey conference. So I would say that like between hockey conference program, you get some of that, but I'd say it's more in like a lot of like the journalists and the coaches and like league, you know, commissioners and stuff that you get some of that kind of bickering, and maybe not as much in like the local fan bases, because I don't know that college hockey quite yet has as deep of a history with fans in terms of
right.
conferences like football does, you know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then, you know, kind of going off of that, how does it, you know, just going to the basics, how does it work with college hockey, you know, when crowning a champion, when you have these different conferences, do they, you know, they kind of cross pollinate and play each other, or they're like multiple champions based on, you know, conferences and stuff like that?
Well, it depends. And this year was different. And also the thing that's been happening with college hockey lately as well is that there's actually been a lot of, I mean, even the Big Ten is a new-ish league to
right.
conference to college hockey. And the NCHC isn't crazy old either. And now the WCHA, which was like the original conference that St. Cloud and Minnesota and Wisconsin were all in, when they left for the Big Ten and the NCHC came in, they reorganized all of that. Well, now that WCHA conference actually dissolved this year. And
oh, wow.
Now the CCHA, which is an old college hockey conference, has now been brought back. That's starting like this next season.
Okay.
And then, of course, this season was all COVID. So I would say it's been like mostly different in the years that I have been intensely covering it, like year to year, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to say. However, I mean, all of the conferences, they all have their own tournament. So like if you win the NCHC, it's the it's like the Rose Cup. I forget what it is. The Penrose Cup is what it's called. And then if you win the Big Ten, then you get the Big Ten title. And of course they have a regular season winner, conference winner, which was Wisconsin this year. And then they have a like tournament winner, which was Minnesota this year, that Wisconsin lost.
Right.
But then of course they have the NCAA tournament, and that's seeded a little bit different every year. But this year I believe that they took like the top four teams from, so they took, if you won your conference, they took you, whether it was regular season or tournament. And then it was just the eye test for like the rest of the teams. So it was basically, unless you had an automatic, like clear winning record, but I think they had to like use the eye test basically, which is a whole separate controversial.
Right.
So to answer your question.
Yeah.
There's not really a definitive answer. It's been so flexible the last couple of years.
Wow, that's very interesting.
Yeah, sorry to like nerd out on that for a second.
No, that's great. We'll have people that will definitely appreciate that, because that's a good explanation of that. And you know, it's cool to talk more about sports that we really haven't had a chance to talk to about. We've had a lot of, you know, football and basketball, but getting some hockey on the show is very cool. Especially since, you know, for me, I don't know a ton about it, you know, since it wasn't, you know, around as much. You know, we had the Thrashers a little bit, but like I said, it's not the same as, you know, being in Northeast or Midwest or anything like that. But moving over to, you know, there's something that you mentioned before about the coaching staff and the players being really great at Wisconsin. Can you talk about that and how easier that makes your life when they're, you know, they're good people and they're great coaches as well. How does that make your life easier?
Absolutely. I mean, just as any journalist in general, to have a really good relationship with the people that you need to be covering and getting information from all the time is so important if you want to tell good stories or factual stories or
Right.
Stories that share anything new. And that's regardless. I mean, that applies to whether you work in sports or politics or, you know, really anything, community leaders or schools, you know, having those good relationships is so important. So, I'm really lucky that my boss is actually like college best friends with Tony Granato.
Oh, wow.
Both went to the University of Wisconsin. So, they're like really tight. So when they brought me on, he just took me to a meeting with Tony and I just met him and he had all these big ideas. And, I forget what it is, but my boss always says basically like Tony would literally give the shirt off his back to like anyone that he even remotely likes, kind of a thing, like just a right. really, really selfless guy.
Yeah.
And he also like, he's so open to wild like ideas that we have to do on broadcast. I mean, this is a little bit different because of COVID. Like we couldn't, you right. know, be in the same rooms and stuff as players and whatever. But
yeah,
he was always like, he always told me like, if you have something just like totally crazy, like just let me know. And I'll like tell you if we're definitely not doing that, but I'm going to have an open mind. Like,
wow.
So it's really cool. And, because of that, then we get more like opportunities to cover stuff with players as well, because if you've got coach on board, I mean,
oh, you're good. It's happening. It's happening. Yeah, it's happening.
I mean, like they do, and you don't, it's just like, I mean, I'm sure you've seen interviews with pro athletes where obviously that athlete does not want to be there and does not want to sometimes be talking to that one particular journalist.
Exactly.
And you can go awry. I mean, we've definitely seen that several times, even this year. So anyways, I would say that having that relationship allows us to have just like, it makes it easier to ask the hard questions and it makes it easier to be excited when they're doing really great things as well. And it also makes it easier to make fun content and to be engaged with their fan base and to be making sure that, you know, as journalists and as broadcasters and the people who make these broadcasts for fans to watch, that we're making them interesting to them. So, yeah.
No, it definitely helps. I mean, it definitely helps to work with people that, you know, want to work with you, you know, because like you said, you know, with the big ideas, he's open-minded. I mean, a lot of times, you know, that's all we're looking for is just some sort of like, doesn't have to be yes every single time, just a little wiggle room just to hear me out. And, you know, if you have a suggestion back, then, you know, that's really going to help. You know, relationships are big in that way, but,
absolutely.
What are some other tricks that you've learned kind of throughout your early career here, you know, working with a hockey team or, you know, maybe sometime when you were in college?
I mean, tricks for broadcasters or people who want to be, you know, sideline reporters, I would say one of the biggest things that I always say is just like, do your research, always do your research. I mean, read everything that you can read. And there's really not a stupid question. I mean, you only get two questions if you're like asking them on air. So like, don't ask a stupid question with your limited time there.
Right.
But if you're like doing like Zoom interviews or like regular press conferences where, you know, you want some clarification on something that was said or whatever, you know, like just ask it. I would always say that. And I always say that it's okay to, I personally, like one of my pet peeves is just, I don't, and it's something that I have encountered and that I know other friends in the industry have encountered, is that like, there's a lot of this idea of like, that you should just know everything mm-hmm. all the time.
Right.
And that's not incorrect in the sense that like, you know, you are supposed to be very extremely knowledgeable on whatever it is that you cover. However, I believe that anybody who thinks that they know everything all the time and wants to act like they know everything all the time and that they right. are the end-all be-all of everything, I just don't trust that. And I think right. that's an attitude that we should focus on changing. And I think if you're a journalist, then part of your focus is asking questions and getting to know people and learning things that you didn't know. So I think that curious mind is really important. It's important to the job and seeing stories and seeing, you know, plays and people in different ways that's what it is that it's like digging up new things that fans can't just see themselves, you know?
Exactly right. I mean, that's, I mean, your job as being a reporter, again, you know, like you're saying, news, sports, whatever form that you're doing it, is to inform the public on, you know, what's going on. You know, it's whether it's the coach's interview, whether it's politics, all of that sort of stuff. So even if you think it's a dumb question, there's good, you know, it's like what your teacher used to say in class, you know, ask the question, because more than likely there's someone else either in that press conference at home watching,
right,
on Twitter, that's going to have that same question. So was it ever difficult? Like, did you, I mean, I'm sure when you were first getting started and you were first going to those press conferences, might've been nervous here or there. Did you, was that a thing for you, or did you, you know, like, how did you get over the hump of just like, let me just ask this question because it's part of my job and part of my role and I belong to be here.
Yeah, there's been a couple of different moments. I mean, when I was in college, I didn't do a lot of like live game sports broadcasting.
Right.
I did a lot of live shots and like typical, you know, like reporter live shots. But so I wasn't ultra familiar with just like the format of sports broadcasts from the sense of a sidelines perspective, if that makes sense. But I wasn't necessarily like nervous. It was just like my first like game. I just like thought that like I would know exactly what I needed to do when I needed to do it.
Right.
And it wasn't what I didn't or that you wouldn't know, but it was, it was just like, okay, I didn't maybe get some of the technicalities of the situation at first, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
My like camera guy, like he didn't stand there with me like the whole time. Like he's like somewhere else and he'll literally come to me for 30 seconds to do my thing. And I'm like, what? Like it's like,
wow.
It's not quite like a news live shot where you stand there for 15 minutes before you start talking.
Right.
So anyways, I mean, just things like that. But I would also say as well that like I've covered a lot of sports that like I didn't watch a lot because I have covered a lot of high school tournaments. It's like, I mean, I enjoy soccer, but the first time that I covered soccer, it's like, I mean, I know the basics, but like, I don't know everything, I felt like. And
right.
Since it's not my main beat, it's like, I'm going to cover these two soccer games and then probably not cover. So just some of that, like, I would sit down like with other reporter friends who like do cover those sports and just be like, okay, I need all the slang. I need all, like, if I'm talking to the coach and they say this, like, if I don't know what that means, you know, so just things like that, just in the challenges of just covering different sports. So, but that's nothing. I mean, it relates though, and just like I was talking before too, about like when I was a news reporter or anybody who is a news reporter, if you don't cover one beat or one team or one topic, you have to be a chameleon and you got to ask questions and just learn and do all the research that you can. And that's just kind of the gig of being a journalist. So, but it definitely made me nervous because I was like, well, I only really have covered hockey at the time.
Right.
I could tell you everything about that. But now, you know, and like another one too is like softball. Like I had never covered softball. And there are a lot of really subtle differences between softball and baseball. Obviously,
there's
a lot of huge differences.
Yeah.
So, and some of it's just really basic terminology that's like not, it's not hard to learn or to understand, but if you just have never encountered it,
right,
then you need someone to tell you and you need to be willing to learn and ask questions.
Without a doubt, especially on that level as well. Like you could go to a softball game, but that's not going to necessarily give you all the ins and outs that you might need.
Right. And it's like, I mean, you can turn on the TV almost any day and watch football, but not softball. Like there's not a lot of softball.
There you go. That's also very true. I remember quick thing that's very similar to that. I did a lot of covering when I was in college, and the sports department was very small to begin with. It was a student news, you know, run organization. But the editor, he did, you know, men's basketball, which is the big ticket item. We didn't have football at our school, but I went to a women's basketball game. I did the write up, and I sent it to him. And it was funny because he texted me shortly after. He goes, "Nick, I don't know if we can do this because it's you have it, you know, in periods, you know, or in quarters. Like you wrote it as, you know, women's basketball is in quarters, but it's in periods." I'm like, "No, it's it's not like men's. Men, which is weird because, and I know I went to the game, I was like, no, man, it's actually it's in quarters, which is weird because I think college basketball is the only one that does it in halves, because like every other level I feel like does it in quarters. You know, NBA obviously, and then even in high school. But had a good laugh about that because he's like, oh, I didn't even think about it. You would just assume, you know, right, one way or the other. But
absolutely.
That's pretty funny.
Definitely. So yeah, that's just something, you know, you got to be willing to be wrong and roll with the punches and ask questions. And that's the thing I always like just kind of say to like young broadcasters too, and that I've been told many, many times by
right,
you know, network executives and heads of teams, is that it's just like nobody wants somebody with an ego, and nobody especially wants a journalist with an ego, because
right.
You got to be willing to learn and be wrong. And
right.
And you, there's probably times that like you will report something that people don't want reported, or that they didn't like how you phrased it. And you have to be willing to be like, shoot, sorry. Or I mean, like it can be sorry, like because you were wrong, but also can be sorry because it's hard to be like, I'm sorry, that makes you uncomfortable, but I still have to,
it's my job,
recognize that that happened, you right, know?
You also do work with the Milwaukee Brewers. Can you tell me a little bit, you know, about what you're doing there?
Yeah, so I'm in a little bit of a odd situation currently. Nothing bad, but they actually had asked me to be their new in-arena host last, like, in January of 2020, because their other arena host was doing other things that season. Well, and then the pandemic hit.
Right.
And so then there was obviously no fans in the arena and such.
Oh, wow.
And then, that particular gal wanted to come back this season. So I'm still, because she had lost some of her other opportunities due to the pandemic. So I still technically am employed by them, but I haven't gotten to do a game yet this season or last year of the pandemic. So I get a text every day and I have to be ready to possibly
right,
go any day, like if she's ever sick or if she ever wants a day off or anything like that. So so I wish I had more to share on that. It's one of the many things that has been really messed up from the pandemic. But I did get a really nice check from Christian Yelich when everybody was in the thick of the pandemic. He sent all Brewers employees a small piece of his salary, basically, which actually, that was cool. And like a letter.
That's like awesome.
A letter. Yeah. I mean, it just said my name. It's not like he knows who I am, but you know,
that's super cool that he did that. Piper, you've been such an awesome guest today. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me and, learn more about what you do, but I'm going to go ahead and take you to our last segment, which is our three H's, where we talk about our heroes, highlight and home. Who would you say your hero is?
I would say like my personal hero is probably my dad, which is what a cliche answer, but pretty much everything that I'm good at is stuff that like he was really good at, and not because I tried to be, but just because I was around it, you know, growing up, and we're very, very similar. But I would say my professional hero, honestly, at this stage in my youngish career would be my boss, because he really gave me an opportunity that I didn't necessarily feel like I don't want to say that I didn't deserve at the time, but it just felt like, really? Like me? Like, okay, you know.
Right.
He really stuck his neck out for me for a lot of the opportunities that I've gotten. And I also think that a lot of people who really make it in sports broadcasting, they have somebody who does that for them. I think you're very hard pressed to find somebody who genuinely just does everything by themselves. You know, a lot of the things that I've made and things have been like through him. And, of course, you know, it takes you to get people to like you or actually talk
to you. Of course.
I would say that, in a professional sense, he's definitely been my hero because he's been my advocate quite a bit.
That's fantastic. What about a highlight? Is there a strong moment that really stands out in your career?
Man, I mean, there's just been so many amazing games and things at Wisconsin. Just simply even covering this hockey team this year was such a turnaround from the year before in terms of their performance, and getting to watch Cole Caulfield go from a first round draft pick and a freshman into now just played his first, you know, NHL playoff game. And just having, I mean, he's the number one college hockey player in the country, and he's just phenomenal, and he's a great kid too. And there's also a handful of other players that have had similar stories and are fantastic players. So just getting to like see them grow from literal teenagers into adults and now pro players has been cool. But I would say just one of the funnest moments I've ever covered was actually in a high school basketball tournament in Illinois. And it was this just complete underdog team from East St. Louis. Like, they had had five different head coaches in 2 years, like just a crazy story. And they make it to the championship game, and they end up going to overtime. And then at the literal last 5 seconds of overtime, their team captain, who had really like led them there, gets a free throw, misses the free throw, but his teammate grabs it and dunks it.
Oh my God.
Buzzer, and they win. And wow. It was literally the most insane. It was so insane. Like, in terms of moments that I have gotten to be a part of where there's pure excitement. And on that note too, I would just say high schoolers in general, like when they win those state championships, it means everything. Like, they are literally completely winning the Super Bowl level, like, excitement when they win state championship. Like, I feel like you don't really see that as much in other levels, or maybe I haven't. So that would be a highlight just because it was so crazy fun and a cool story.
That's awesome. That's super cool. Our last H is home, and it's a special shout out that you would like to give to somebody.
So most of my family and friends don't live in my hometown anymore, but my speech coach from high school, her name is Carmen Shaw. She was kind of like a parent to me, as many coaches can be to students. But a lot of my public speaking skills, like, I gained from her, and also a lot of like tenacity and the ability to be tough through competition and things like that, that I deal with a lot in working in a competitive industry. I feel like I really learned from her. So my home shout out is to Carmen Straw.
That's awesome. Piper, thank you so much for joining us today. You've been fantastic. We wish you nothing but the best along in your future. How could people, you know, learn more about you and follow the great work that you're doing?
Well, you can find me on social media. I'm not the most active, but I'm at @Pip_Shaw on Instagram and at @PiperShawTV on Twitter. And I do have a website as well that I occasionally update if you just want to read about me. That's just PiperShaw.com.
Well, thank you again so much for joining us. And guys, that wraps up another episode of the Nick Rodriguez Podcast. And for more, you can go to nickrodriguezpodcast.com. Thanks so much.